Lipoti virag, basilico gramate, shoots rapidly down through the chimney flue and struts two steps to the left on gawky pink stilts. He is sausaged into several overcoats and wears a brown mackintosh under which he holds a roll of parchment. In his left eye flashes the monocle of Cashel, Boyle, O'Connor, Fitzmaurice, Tisdall, Farrell. On his head is perched an Egyptian skent. Two quills project over his ears. Virag. Heels together, bows.
My name is Virag Lipoti of Sombothe.
He coughs thoughtfully, dryly.
Promiscuous nakedness is much in evidence hereabouts, eh? Inadvertently, her back view revealed the fact that she is not wearing those rather intimate garments of which you are a particular devotee. The injection mark on the thigh, I hope you perceived. Good.
Bloom.
Grandpapaki, but...
Virag.
Number two, on the other hand, she of the cherry rouge and coiffeurs white, whose hair owes not a little to our tribal elixir of gopher wood, is in walking costume and tightly stazed by her sit, I should opine. Backbone in front, so to say. Correct me, but I always understood that the act so performed by skittish humans with glimpses of lingerie appealed to you in virtue of its exhibitionisticity. In a word, hippogriff. Am I right?
Bloom.
She is rather lean.
Virag. Not unpleasantly.
Absolutely. Well observed. And those pannier pockets of the skirt and slightly peg-top effect are devised to suggest bunchiness of hip. A new purchase at some monster sale for which a gull has been mulked. Head. Meretricious finery to deceive the eye. Observe the attention to details of dust specks. Never put on you tomorrow what you can wear today. Parallax.
With a nervous twitch of his head.
Did you hear my brain go snap? Polysyllabax.
Bloom. An elbow resting in a hand, a forefinger against his cheek.
She seems sad.
Virag. Cynically, his weasel teeth bared yellow, draws down his left eye with a finger and barks hoarsely.
Hoax! Beware of the flapper and the bogus mournful lily of the alley. All possess bachelor's button discovered by Rualdus Columbus. Tumble her, columble her, chameleon.
More genially.
Well then, permit me to draw your attention to item number three. There is plenty of her visible to the naked eye. Observe the mass of oxygenated vegetable matter on her skull. What ho, she bumps! The ugly duckling of the party, long casted and deep in keel.
Bloom, regretfully.
When you come out without your gun.
Virag.
We can do you all brands, mild, medium, and strong. Pay your money, take your choice. How happy could you be with either?
Bloom. With? Virag, his tongue upcurling.
Lyum, look, her beam is broad. She is coated with quite a considerable layer of fat, obviously mammal in weight of bosom. You remark that she has in front, well to the fore, two protuberances of very respectable dimensions, inclined to fall in the noonday soup plate, while on her rear, lower down, are two additional protuberances, suggestive of potent rectum and tumescent for palpation, which leave nothing to be desired save compactness. Such fleshy parts are the product of careful nurture. When coop fattened, their livers reach an elephantine size. Pellets of new bread with fenugreek and gum benjamin, swamped down by potions of green tea, endow them during their brief existence with natural pincushions of quite colossal blubber. That suits your book, eh? Flesh hot pots of Egypt to hanker after. Wallow in it. Lycopodium.
His throat twitches.
Slap bang. There he goes again.
Bloom. The sty I dislike. Virag. Arches his eyebrows.
Contact with a gold ring, they say. Argumentum ad feminam. As we said in old Rome and ancient Greece, in the consulship of Diplodocus and Ichthyosaurus. For the rest, Eve's sovereign remedy. Not for sale, hire only. Huguenot.
He twitches.
It is a funny sound.
He coughs encouragingly.
But possibly it is only a wart. I presume you shall have remembered what I will have taught you on that head. Wheaten meal with honey and nutmeg.
Bloom. Reflecting. Wheaten meal with lycopodium and syllabix. This searching ordeal. It has been an unusually fatiguing day. A chapter of accidents. Wait, I mean, wart's blood spreads warts, you said. Virag. Severely. His nose hard humped, his side eye winking.
Stop twirling your thumbs and have a good old thunk. See, you have forgotten. Exercise your mnemotechnique. La causa è santa. Tara, tara.
Aside.
He will surely remember.
Bloom. Rosemary also did, I understand you to say, or willpower over parasitic tissues. Then, nay, no, I have an inkling. The touch of a dead hand cures. Nemo? Virag, excitedly.
I say so. I say so. E'en so. Technique.
He taps his parchment roll energetically.
This book tells you how to act with all descriptive particulars. Consult index for agitated fear of aconite. melancholy of muriatic, priapic, pulsatilla. Virag is going to talk about amputation, our old friend caustic. They must be starved. Snip off with horsehair under the denned neck. But to change the venue to the Bulgar and the Basque, have you made up your mind whether you like or dislike women in male habiliments?
With a dry snigger.
You intended to devote an entire year to the study of the religious problem, and the summer months of 1886 to square the circle and win that million. Pomegranate, from the sublime to the ridiculous, is but a step. Pajamas, let us say. Or stockingette, gusseted knickers, closed? Or, put we the case, those complicated combinations, cami knickers?
He crows derisively.
Kee, kee, re, kee.
This ends Disc 27. Ulysses, Disc 28.
Bloom surveys uncertainly the three whores, then gazes at the veiled mauve light, hearing the ever-flying moth. Bloom. I wanted then to have now concluded. Night dress was never... Hence this... But tomorrow is a new day, will be. Past was, is, today. What now is, will, then, morrow, as now was, be past yester. Virag prompts in a pig's whisper.
Insects of the day spend their brief existence in reiterated coition, lured by the smell of the inferiorly pulchritudinous female, possessing extendified pudental nerve in dorsal region. Pretty ball.
His yellow parrot beak gabbles nasally.
They had a proverb in the Carpathians, in or about the year 5550 of our era. One tablespoonful of honey will attract friend Bruin more than half a dozen barrels of first-choice malt vinegar. Bear's buzz bothers bees. But of this apart, at another time we may resume. We were very pleased, we others.
He coughs, and bending his brow, rubs his nose thoughtfully with a scooping hand.
You shall find that these night insects follow the light, an illusion, for remember their complex, unadjustable eye. For all these knotty points, see the 17th book of my Fundamentals of Sexology, or the Love Passion, which Dr. L.B. says is the book sensation of the year. Some, to example, there are again whose movements are automatic. Perceive. That is his appropriate son. Night bird, night sun, night town. Chase me, Charlie.
He blows into Bloom's ear.
Buzz.
Bloom.
Bee or blue bottle too, other day, putting shadow on wall. Dazed self then me wander dazed down. Shirt, good job, I...
Virag, his face impassive, laughs in a rich feminine key.
Splendid! Spanish fly in his fly, or mustard plaster on his dibble.
He gobbles gluttonously with turkey wattles.
Bubbly jock, where are we? Open sesame, cometh forth.
He unrolls his parchment rapidly and reads, his glowworm's nose running backwards over the letters which he claws.
Stay, good friend, I bring thee thy answer. Red Bank oysters will shortly be upon us. I'm the best a cook. Those succulent bivalves may help us, and the truffles of Perigord, tubers dislodged through Mr. Omnivorous Porker, were unsurpassed in cases of nervous debility or viragitis. Though they stink, yet they sting.
He wags his head with cackling raillery.
Jocular! With my eyeglass in my ocular!
He sneezes.
Amen!
Bloom, absently. Ocularly, woman's bivalve case is worse. Always open sesame. The cloven sex. Why they fear vermin, creeping things. Yet Eve and the serpent contradicts. Not a historical fact. Obvious analogy to my idea. Serpents, too, are gluttons for woman's milk. Wind their way through miles of omnivorous forest to suck succulent her breast dry. Like those bubbly, jocular Roman matrons one reads of, in Elephantuliasis. Virag, his mouth projected in hard wrinkles, eyes stonily, forlornly closed, psalms in outlandish monotone.
That the cows with their those distended udders, that they have been the known.
Bloom.
I am going to scream. I beg your pardon. So,
he repeats,
spontaneously to seek out the saurian's lair in order to entrust their teats to his avid suction. Ant milks aphis,
profoundly.
Instinct rules the world, in life, in death.
Virag, head askew, arches his back and hunched wing shoulders, peers at the moth out of blear bulged eyes, points a horning claw and cries,
Whose moth? Moth? Whose dear Gerald? Dear Ger? That you? Oh dear, he is Gerald. Oh, I much fear he shall be most badly burned. Will some pleash Persian, not now impediment so catastrophic, nith agitation of first-class table numpkin?
He mews.
Puss, 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 puss.
He sighs, draws back, and stares sideways down with dropping underjaw.
Well, well, he doth rest anon.
He snaps his jaws suddenly on the air. The moth.
I'm a tiny, tiny thing, ever flying in the spring. Round and round a ring, long ago I was a king. Now I do this kind of thing, on the wing, bing.
he rushes against the mauve shade, flapping noisily.
Pretty, 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 pretty petticoats!
From left upper entrance, with two gliding steps, Henry Flower comes forward to left front centre. He wears a dark mantle and drooping plumed sombrero. He carries a silver-stringed inlaid dulcimer and a long-stemmed bamboo Jacob's pipe, its clay bowl fashioned as a female head. He wears dark velvet hose and silver-buckled pumps. He has the romantic Saviour's face, with flowing locks, thin beard and moustache. His spindle legs and sparrow feet are those of the tenor Mario, Prince of Candia. He settles down his goffered ruffs and moistens his lips with the passage of his amorous tongue. Henry, in a low, dulcet voice, touching the strings of his guitar. There is a flower that bloometh. Virag, truculent, his jowl set, stares at the lamp. Grave Bloom regards Zoe's neck. Henry, gallant, turns with pendant dewlap to the piano. Stephen, to himself. Play with your eyes shut. Imitate Pa. Filling my belly with husks of swine. Too much of this. I will arise and go to my... Expect this is the... Steve, thou art in a parlous way. Must visit old DC or telegraph. Our interview of this morning has left on me a deep impression. Though our ages... We'll write fully tomorrow. I'm partially drunk, by the way. He touches the keys again. Minor chord comes now. Yes. Not much, however. Almidano Artifoni holds out a baton roll of music with vigorous moustache work. Artifoni. Ci rifletta. Lei rovina tutto. Flory. Sing us something. Love's old sweet song. Stephen. No voice. I am a most finished artist. Lynch, did I show you the letter about the lute? Flory. Smirking. The bird that can sing and won't sing. The Siamese twins, Philip drunk and Philip sober, two Oxford dons with lawnmowers, appear in the window embrasure. Both are masked with Matthew Arnold's face. Philip sober. Take a fool's advice. All is not well. Work it out with the butt end of a pencil like a good young idiot. £3.12 you got. Two notes, one sovereign, two crowns. If youth but knew, Mooney's en ville, Mooney's sur mer, the Moira, Larches, Holler Street Hospital, Burks. Eh? I am watching you. Philip, drunk. Impatiently. Ah, bosh, man, go to hell. I paid my way. If I could only find out about octaves, reduplication of personality. Who was it told me his name? His lawnmower begins to purr. Aha, yes. Zoe Moussas Agapo. Have a notion I was here before. When was it? Not Atkinson. His card. I have somewhere. Max somebody. On Mac I have it. He told me about... Hold on. Swinburne, was it? No.
Florrie.
And the song?
Stephen.
Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Florrie.
Are you out of Maynooth? You're like someone I knew once.
Stephen.
Out of it now.
To himself.
Clever.
Philip drunk and Philip sober.
Their lawnmowers purring with a rigadoon of grass harms. Clever ever. Out of it. Out of it. By the by, have you the book, the thing, the ash plant? Yes, there it, yes. Clever ever, out of it now. Keep in condition. Do like us.
Zoe.
There was a priest down here 2 nights ago to do his bit of business with his coat buttoned up. You needn't try to hide, I says to him. I know you've a Roman collar.
Virag.
Perfectly logical from his standpoint. Fall of man.
Harshly, his pupils waxing.
To hell with the Pope. Nothing new under the sun. I am the Virag who disclosed the sex secrets of monks and maidens. Why, I left the Church of Rome. Read the priest, the woman, and the confessional. Penrose, flippity-gippet,
he wriggles.
Woman undoing with sweet pudor her belt of rush rope, offers her all moist yoni to man's lingam. Short time after man presents woman with pieces of jungle meat, woman shows joy and covers herself with feather skins. Man loves her yoni fiercely with big lingam. The stiff one,
he cries,
coactus volui. Then giddy woman will run about. Strong man graps his woman's wrist. Woman squeals, bites, spucks. Man, now fierce angry, strikes woman's fat yadgana.
He chases his tail.
Piff, paff, popo.
He stops, sneezes. He worries his butt.
Lynch. I hope you gave the good father a penance. 9 glorias for shooting a bishop.
Zoe. Spouts walrus smoke through her nostrils.
He couldn't get a connection. Only, you know, sensation. A dry rush.
Bloom.
Poor man.
Zoe. Lightly.
Only for what happened him.
Bloom.
How?
Virag. A diabolic rictus of black luminosity contracting his visage cranes his scraggy neck forward. He lifts a moon-calf nozzle and howls.
Verflucha Goyam. He had a father, 40 fathers. He never existed, pig god. He had 2 left feet. He was Judas Iacchia, a Libyan eunuch, the Pope's bastard.
He leans out on tortured forepaws, elbows bent rigid, his eye agonizing in his flat skull neck, and yelps over the mute world.
A son of a whore. Apocalypse.
Kitty.
and Mary Shortall that was in the lock with the pox she got from Jimmy Pigeon in the blue caps had a child off him that couldn't swallow and was smothered with the convulsions in the mattress, and we all subscribed for the funeral. Philip drunk. Gravely. Qui vous a mis dans cette fichue position, Philippe?
Philip sober. Gaily.
C'était la sacrée pision, Philippe.
Kitty unpins her hat and sets it down calmly, patting her henna hair. And a prettier, a daintier head of winsome curls was never seen on a whore's shoulders. Lynch puts on her hat. She whips it off. Lynch laughs.
And to such delights has Metchnikoff inoculated anthropoid apes.
Flory nods.
Locomotor, a taxi.
Zoe, gaily.
Oh, my dictionary.
Lynch.
Three wise virgins.
Virag. Ague-shaken, profuse yellow spawn foaming over his bony, epileptic lips.
She sold love philters, white wax, orange flower. Panther, the Roman centurion, polluted her with his genitories.
He sticks out a flickering, phosphorescent scorpion tongue, his hand on his fork.
Messiah, he burst her tympanum.
With gibbering baboon's cries, he jerks his hips in the cynical spasm.
Hick, heck, hack, hock, hook, cock, cook.
Ben Jumbo Dollard, rubicund, muscle-bound, hairy-nostrilled, huge-bearded, cabbage-eared, shaggy-chested, shock-maned, fat-papped, stands forth, his loins and genitals tightened into a pair of black bathing bag-slops. Ben Dollard. Knackering castanet bones in his huge padded paws, yodels jovially in bass barreltone.
When love absorbed my ardent soul.
The virgins, Nurse Callan and Nurse Quigley, burst through the ringkeepers and the ropes and mob him with open arms. The virgins. Gushingly.
Big Ben, Ben my chree.
A voice.
Hold that fellow with the bad breeches.
Ben Dollard smites his thigh in abundant laughter.
Hold him now.
Henry, caressing on his breast a severed female head, murmurs,
Thine heart. Mine love.
He plucks his lute strings.
When first I saw.
Virag. Sloughing his skins, his multitudinous plumage molting.
Rats.
He yawns, showing a coal-black throat, and closes his jaws by an upward push of his parchment roll.
After having said which I took my departure, farewell, fare thee well, Drek.
Henry Flower combs his moustache and beard rapidly, with a pocket comb, and gives the cow's lick to his hair. Steered by his rapier, he glides to the door, his wild harp slung behind him. Virag reaches the door in two ungainly stilt hops, his tail cocked, and deftly claps sideways on the wall a pussy-yellow flybill, butting it with his head. The flybill. K-11, post no bills, strictly confidential, Dr. High Franks. Henry. All is lost now. Virag unscrews his head in a trice and holds it under his arm. Virag's head.
Quack.
Exeunt severally. Stephen, over his shoulder to Zoe. You would have preferred the fighting parson who founded the Protestant error. But beware Antisthenes, the dog sage, and the last end of Arius Horesiarchus. The agony in the closet. Lynch, all one and the same God to her. Stephen, devoutly. And sovereign Lord of all things. Florrie, to Stephen. I'm sure you're a spoiled priest. Or a monk? Lynch. He is. A cardinal's son. Stephen. Cardinal sin. Monks of the screw. His Eminence Simon Stephen Cardinal Dedalus, Primate of all Ireland, appears in the doorway, dressed in red soutane, sandals and socks. Seven dwarf Simeon acolytes also in red. Cardinal sins uphold his train, peeping under it. He wears a battered silk hat sideways on his head. His thumbs are stuck in his armpits and his palms outspread. Round his neck hangs a rosary of corks, ending on his breast in a corkscrew cross. Releasing his thumbs, he invokes grace from on high with large waved gestures and proclaims with bloated pomp. The Cardinal. Conservio lies captured. He lies in the lowest dungeon, with manacles and chains around his limbs, weighing upwards of 3 tons. He looks at all for a moment, his right eye closed tight, his left cheek puffed out. Then, unable to repress his merriment, he rocks to and fro, arms akimbo, and sings with broad, rollicking humour. Oh, the poor little fellow, his legs they were yellow. He was plump, fat and heavy, and brisk as a snake. But some bloody savage, to graze his white cabbage, he murdered Nell Flaherty's duck-loving drake. A multitude of midges swarms white over his robe. He scratches himself with crossed arms at his ribs, grimacing, and exclaims, I'm suffering the agony of the damned. By the hokey fiddle, thanks be to Jesus, those funny little chaps are not unanimous. If they were, they'd walk me off the face of the bloody globe. His head aslant, he blesses curtly with fore and middle fingers, imparts the Easter kiss, and double shuffles off comically, swaying his hat from side to side, shrinking quickly to the size of his train-bearers. The dwarf acolytes, giggling, peeping, nudging, ogling, Easter-kissing, zigzag behind him. His voice is heard mellow from afar, merciful male, melodious. Shall carry my heart to thee, shall carry my heart to thee, and the breath of the balmy night shall carry my heart to thee. The trick door handle turns. The door handle. Thee? Zoe. The devil is in that door. A male form passes down the creaking staircase and is heard taking the waterproof and hat from the rack. Bloom starts forward involuntarily, and, half closing the door as he passes, takes the chocolate from his pocket and offers it nervously to Zoe. Zoe sniffs his hair briskly. Thank your mother for the rabbits. I'm very fond of what I like. Bloom, hearing a male voice in talk with the whores on the doorstep, pricks his ears.
If it were he, after, or because not, or the double event?
Zoe tears open the silver foil.
Fingers was made before forks.
She breaks off and nibbles a piece, gives a piece to Kitty Ricketts, and then turns kittenishly to Lynch.
No objection to French lozenges?
He nods. She taunts him.
Have it now, or wait till you get it.
He opens his mouth, his head cocked. She whirls the prize in left circle. His head follows. She whirls it back in right circle. He eyes her.
Catch!
She tosses a piece. With an adroit snap, he catches it and bites it through with a crack. Kitty, chewing.
The engineer I was with at the bazaar does have lovely ones, full of the best liqueurs. And the viceroy was there with his lady. The gas we had on the Tofts hobby horses. I'm giddy still.
Bloom. In Svengali's fur overcoat, with folded arms and Napoleonic forelock, frowns in ventriloquial exorcism with piercing eagle glance towards the door. Then, rigid with left foot advanced, he makes a swift pass with impelling fingers and gives the sign of past master, drawing his right arm downwards from his left shoulder.
Go, 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 I conjure you, whoever you are.
A male cough and tread are heard passing through the mist outside. Bloom's features relax. He places a hand in his waistcoat, posing calmly. Zoe offers him chocolate. Bloom, solemnly.
Thanks.
Zoe.
Do as you bid. Here.
A firm, heel-clacking tread is heard on the stairs. Bloom takes the chocolate.
Aphrodisiac, tansy and pennyroyal. I bought it. Vanilla calms or Nemo. Confused light confuses memory. Red influences lupus. Colours affect women's characters, any they have. This black makes me sad. Eat and be merry for tomorrow.
He eats.
Influence taste too. Mauve. But it's so long since I... Seems new. Afro. That priest must come. Better late than never. Try truffles at Andrew's.
The door opens. Bella Cohen, a massive whore mistress, enters. She is dressed in a three-quarter ivory gown, fringed round the hem with tasselled selvedge, and cools herself flirting a black horn fan like Minnie Hawk in Carmen. On her left hand are wedding and keeper rings. Her eyes are deeply carboned. She has a sprouting moustache. Her olive face is heavy, slightly sweated, and full-nosed with orange-tainted nostrils. She has large, pendant beryl eardrops. Bella.
My word, I'm all of a muck sweat.
She glances round her at the couples. Then her eyes rest on Bloom with hard insistence. Her large fan winnows wind towards her heated face neck and embonpoint. Her falcon eyes glitter. The fan, flirting quickly, then slowly.
Married, I see.
Bloom.
Yes, partly. I have mislaid.
The fan, half opening, then closing.
And the missus is master. Petticoat government.
Bloom looks down with a sheepish grin.
That is so.
The fan, folding together, rests against her left eardrop.
Have you forgotten me?
Bloom.
Ness, yo.
The fan, folded akimbo against her waist.
Is me her was, you dreamed before? Was then she him, you us, since new? Am all them and the same, now me?
Bella approaches, gently tapping with the fan. Bloom, wincing.
Powerful being, in my eyes. Read that slumber which women love.
The fan, tapping.
We have met. You are mine. It is fate.
Bloom, cowed.
Exuberant female. Enormously I desiderate your domination. I am exhausted, abandoned, no more young. I stand, so to speak, with an unposted letter bearing the extra regulation fee before the too late box of the General Post Office of Human Life.
The door and window open at a right angle, cause a draught of 32 feet per second, according to the law of falling bodies. I have felt this instant a twinge of sciatica in my left gluteal muscle. It runs in our family. Poor dear papa, a widower, was a regular barometer from it. He believed in animal heat. A skin of tabby lined his winter waistcoat. Near the end, remembering King David and the Sunamite, he shared his bed with Athos, faithful after death. A dog spittle, as you probably...
He winces. Ah.
Richie Goulding, bag-weighted, passes the door.
Mocking is catch, best value in dub. Fit for a prince's liver and kidney.
The fan, tapping.
All things end. Be mine now.
Bloom, undecided.
All now? I should not have parted with my talisman. Rain, exposure at dewfall on the sea rocks, a peccadillo at my time of life. Every phenomenon has a natural cause.
The fan points downwards slowly.
You may.
Bloom looks downwards and perceives her unfastened bootlace.
We are observed.
The fan points downwards quickly.
You must.
Bloom, with desire, with reluctance.
I can make a true black knot, learned when I serve my time and work the mail order line for Kellett's. Experienced hand. Every knot says a lot. Let me, in courtesy. I knelt once before today.
Ah. Bella raises her gown slightly, and, steadying her pose, lifts to the edge of a chair a plump, buskined hoof and a full pastern, silk-socked. Bloom, stiff-legged, aging, bends over her hoof and with gentle fingers draws out and in her laces. Bloom murmurs lovingly, "To be a shoe-fitter in Mansfields was my love's young dream. The darling joys of sweet button-hooking, to lace up criss-cross to knee-length the dressy kid footwear, satin-lined, so incredibly, impossibly small, of Clyde Road ladies. Even their wax model Raymond I visited daily to admire her cobweb hose and stick of rhubarb toe, as worn in Paris. The hoof. Smell my hot goat hide. Feel my royal weight. Bloom, cross-lacing. Too tight. The hoof. If you bungle, Handy Andy, I'll kick your football for you. Bloom. Not to lace the wrong eyelet, as I did the night of the bazaar dance. Bad look. Hook in wrong tash of her. Person you mentioned. That night she met... No. He knots the lace. Bella places her foot on the floor. Bloom raises his head. Her heavy face, her eyes strike him in mid-brow. His eyes grow dull, darker and pouched. His nose thickens. Bloom mumbles. Awaiting your further orders, we remain, gentlemen. Bellow. With a hard basilisk stare, in a baritone voice. Hound of dishonour. Bloom, infatuated. Empress. Bellow, his heavy cheek chop sagging. Adorer of the adulterous rump. Bloom, plaintively. Hugeness. Bellow. Dung devourer. Bloom, with sinews semi-flexed. Magnificence. Bellow. Down. He taps her on the shoulder with his fan. Incline feet forward. Slide left foot one pace back. You will fall. You are falling. On the hands down. Bloom. Her eyes upturned in the sign of admiration, closing. Yaps. Truffles. With a piercing, epileptic cry, she sinks on all fours, grunting, snuffling, rooting at his feet, then lies, shamming dead, with eyes shut tight, trembling eyelids, bowed upon the ground in the attitude of most excellent master. Bellow. With bobbed hair, purple gills, fat moustache rings round his shaven mouth, in mountaineer's puttees, green silver button coat, sport skirt and alpine hat with moorcock's feather, his hands stuck deep in his breeches pockets, places his heel on her neck and grinds it in. Footstool, feel my entire weight. Bow, bondslave, before the throne of your despot's glorious heels, so glistening in their proud erectness. Bloom, enthralled, bleats. I promise never to disobey. Bellow,
laughs loudly.
"Holy smoke! You little know what's in store for you. I'm the Tartar to settle your little lot and break you in. I'll bet Kentucky cocktails all round I shame it out of you, old son. Cheek me, I dare you.
If you do, tremble in anticipation of heel discipline to be inflicted in gym costume."
Bloom creeps under the sofa and peers out through the fringe. Zoe, widening her slip to screen her.
"She's not here."
Bloom, closing her eyes.
"She's not here."
Florrie, hiding her with her gown.
"She didn't mean it, Mr. Bellow. She'll be good, sir."
Kitty.
"Don't be too hard on her, Mr. Bellow. Sure you won't, ma'am, sir."
Bellow, coaxingly.
"Come, ducky dear, I want a word with you, darling. Just to administer correction. Just a little heart-to-heart talk, sweetie."
Bloom puts out her timid head.
"There's a good girlie now."
Bellow grabs her hair violently and drags her forward.
"I only want to correct you for your own good on a soft, safe spot. How's that tender behind? Oh, ever so gently pet. Begin to get ready."
Bloom, fainting.
"Don't tear my..."
Bellow, savagely.
"The nose ring, the pliers, the bastinado, the hanging hook, the knout I'll make you kiss while the flutes play like the Nubian slave of old. You're in for it this time. I'll make you remember me for the balance of your natural life."
His forehead veins swollen, his face congested.
"I shall sit on your ottoman's saddleback every morning after my thumping good breakfast of Matteson's fat ham rashers and a bottle of Guinness's porter."
He belches.
"And suck my thumping good stock exchange cigar while I read the licensed Vittler's Gazette. Very possibly I shall have you slaughtered and skewered in my stables and enjoy a slice of you with crisp crackling from the baking tin, basted and baked like sucking pig with rice and lemon or currant sauce. It will hurt you."
He twists her arm. Bloom squeals, turning turtle.
Bloom. "Don't be cruel, nurse. Don't."
Bellow, twisting.
"Another."
Bloom screams.
"Oh, it's hell itself. Every nerve in my body aches like mad."
Bellow shouts.
"Good, by the romping, jumping general. That's the best bit of news I heard these 6 weeks. Here, don't keep me waiting, damn you."
He slaps her face. Bloom whimpers.
"You're after hitting me. I'll tell..."
Bellow.
"Hold him down, girls, till I squat on him."
Zoe.
"Yes, walk on him. I will."
Florrie.
"I will. Don't be greedy."
Kitty.
"No, me. Lend him to me."
The brothel cook, Mrs. Kyo, wrinkled, grey-bearded, in a greasy bib, men's grey and green socks and brogues, flour-smeared, a rolling pin stuck with raw pastry in her bare red arm and hand, appears at the door.
Mrs. Q, ferociously.
Can I help?
They hold and pinion Bloom. Bellow squats with a grunt on Bloom's upturned face, puffing cigar smoke, nursing a fat leg.
I see Keating Clay is elected vice chairman of the Richmond Asylum. And by the by, Guinness's preference shares are at 16¾. Curse me for a fool that didn't buy that lot Craig and Gardner told me about. Just my infernal luck. Curse it. And that goddamn outsider throwaway at 20-1.
He quenches his cigar angrily on Bloom's ear.
Where's that goddamned cursed ashtray?
Bloom did. Buttock smothered.
Oh, monsters. Cruel one.
Bellow.
Ask for that every 10 minutes. Beg. Pray for it as you never prayed before.
He thrusts out a figged fist and foul cigar.
Here, kiss that. Both. Kiss.
He throws a leg astride and, pressing with horseman's knees, calls in a hard voice.
Gee-up. A cockhorse to Banbury Cross. I'll ride him for the Eclipse Stakes.
He bends sideways and squeezes his mount's testicles roughly, shouting,
Ho, off we pop! I'll nurse you in proper fashion.
He horse rides cock horse, leaping in the saddle.
The lady goes apace, and the coachman goes a trot, and the gentleman goes a gallop.
Florrie pulls at Bellow.
Let me on him now. You had enough. I asked before you.
Zoe pulling at Florrie.
Me. Are you not finished with him yet, suckeress?
Bloom stifling.
Can't.
Bellow.
Well, I'm not. Wait.
He holds in his breath.
Curse it. Here. This bung's about to burst.
He uncorks himself behind, then, contorting his features, farts stoutly.
Take that.
He recorks himself.
Yes, by jingo. 16¾.
Bloom, a sweat breaking out over him.
Not man.
He sniffs.
Woman.
Bellow stands up.
No more blow hot and cold. What you longed for has come to pass. Henceforth you are unmanned, and mine in earnest, a thing under the yoke. Now for your punishment, Fruck. You will shed your male garments, you understand, Ruby Cohen, and don the shot silk, luxuriously rustling over head and shoulders, and quickly too.
Bloom shrinks.
Silk? Mistress said. Oh, crinkly, scrapey. Must I tip-touch it with my nails?
Bellow points to his whores.
As they are now, so will you be.
Wigged, singed, perfume-sprayed, rice-powdered, with smooth-shaven armpits.
Tape measurements will be taken next your skin.
You will be laced with cruel force into vice-like corsets of soft-dove coutil, with whalebone busk to the diamond-trimmed pelvis, the absolute outside edge, while your figure, plumper than when at large, will be restrained in neck-tight frocks, pretty 2-ounce petticoats and fringes and things stamped, of course, with my house flag, creations of lovely lingerie for Alice, a nice scent for Alice. Alice will feel the pull. Martha and Mary will be a little chilly at first in such delicate thigh casing, but the frilly flimsiness of lace round your bare knees will remind you...
Bloom. Charming soubrette, with dauby cheeks, mustard hair, and large male hands and nose, leering mouth. I tried her things on only twice. A small prank in Hollis Street. When we were hard up, I washed them to save the laundry bill. My own shirts I turned. It was the purest thrift.
Bellow. Jeers. Little jobs that make mother pleased, eh? And showed off coquettishly in your domino, at the mirror behind closed-drawn blinds, your unskirted thighs and he-goat's udders in various poses of surrender, eh? Ho-ho! I have to laugh. That second-hand black opera top-shift and short trunk-leg naughties, all split up the stitches, at her last drape that Mrs. Miriam Dandrade sold you from the Shelburne Hotel, eh?
Bloom.
Miriam, black, demimondaine.
Bellow, or falls.
Christ almighty, it's too tickling this. You were a nice-looking Miriam when you clipped off your back-gate hairs and lay swooning in the thing across the bed as Mrs. Dandrade, about to be violated by Lieutenant Smythe, Mr. Philip Austustus Blockwell, M.P., Senior Larchy Day, the Rubtenner, by Bert, the lift boy, Free of Gordon Biffett fame, Sheridan, the groom Croesus, the varsity wet bob 8 from Old Trinity, Ponto, her splendid Newfoundland, and Bobs, Dowager Duchess of Manor Hamilton.
He guffaws again.
Christ, wouldn't it make a Siamese cat laugh?
Bloom, her hands and features working. It was Gerald converted me to be a true corset lover when I was female impersonator in the high school play, vice versa. It was dear Gerald. He got that kink, fascinated by sister stays. Now, dear as Gerald uses pinky grease paint and gills his eyelids... Cult of the beautiful.
Bellow, with wicked glee. Beautiful. Give us a breather. When you took your seat with womanish care, lifting your billowy flounces on the smooth-worn throne.
Bloom.
Science. To compare the various joys we each enjoy...
Earnestly.
And really, it's better the position, because often I used to wet.
Bellow. Sternly.
No insubordination. The sawdust is there in the corner for you. I gave you strict instructions, didn't I? Do it standing, sir. I'll teach you to behave like a gentleman.
If I catch a trace on your swaddles, aha, by the ass of the Dorans, you'll find I'm a martinet. The sins of your past are rising against you. Many hundreds.
The sins of the past, in a medley of voices.
He went through a form of clandestine marriage with at least one woman in the shadow of the Black Church.
Unspeakable messages he telephoned mentally to Miss Dunn at an address in Dolia Street while he presented him indeedly to the incident in the box. By word and deed, he frankly encouraged a nocturnal strumpet to deposit fecal and other matter in an unsanitary outhouse attached to empty premises.
In 5 public conveniences, he wrote pencil messages offering his nuptial partner to all strong-membered males. And, by the offensively smelling vitriol works, did he not pass night after night by loving, courting couples to see if and what and how much he could see?
Did he not lie in bed, the gross bore, gloating over a nauseous mint of well-used toilet paper presented to him by a nasty harlot, stimulated by gingerbread on a postal order?
Bellow whistles loudly.
Say, what was the most revolting piece of obscenity in all your career of crime? Go the whole hog, puke it out, be candid for once.
Mute, inhuman faces throng forward, leering, vanishing, gibbering. Boo-loo-hoom, Poldycock, Bootlaces a Penny, Cassidy's Hag, Blind Stripling, Larry Rhinoceros, the girl, the woman, the whore, the other, the Lane, the
Bloom.
Don't ask me. Our mutual faith. Pleasance Street. I only thought the half of the...
I swear on my sacred oath.
Bellow, peremptorily.
Answer, repugnant wretch. I insist on knowing. Tell me something to amuse me. Smut, or a bloody good ghost story, or a line of poetry. Quick, quick, quick. Where? How? What time? With how many? I give you just 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3.
Bloom, docile, gurgles.
I repugnosed in repugnant.
Bellow, imperiously.
Oh, get out, you skunk. Hold your tongue. Speak when you're spoken to.
Bloom, bows.
Master, mistress, man-tamer.
He lifts his arms, his bangle bracelets fall. Bellow, satirically.
By day you will souse and bat our smelling underclothes. Also, when we ladies are unwell, and swab out our latrines with dress pinned up and a dish clout tied to your tail. Won't that be nice?
He places a ruby ring on her finger.
And there now, with this ring I thee own. Say thank you, mistress.
Bloom.
Thank you, mistress.
Bellow.
You will make the beds, get my tub ready, empty
empty the piss-pots in the different rooms, including old Mrs. Kyo's, the cook's, a sandy one. Aye, and rinse the seven of them well, mind, or lap it up like champagne. Drink me piping hot. Hop! You will dance attendance, or I'll lecture you on your misdeeds, Miss Ruby, and spank your bare bot right well, miss, with the hairbrush. You will be taught the error of your ways. At night, your well-creamed, braceleted hands will wear 43 button gloves, new powdered with talc, and having delicately scented fingertips. For such favours, knights of old laid down their lives. He chuckles. My boys will be no enchant to see you so ladylike. The colonel, above all. When they come here the night before the wedding to fondle my new attraction in gilded heels, first I'll have a go at you myself. A man I know on the turf, named Charles Alberta Marsh, I was in bed with him just now, and another gentleman out of the Hanniper and Petty Bag office is on the lookout for a maid of all work at a short knock. Swell the bust, smile, droop shoulders. What offers? He points. For that lot, trained by owner to fetch and carry, basket in mouth. He bares his arm and plunges it elbow deep in Bloom's vulva. There's fine depth for you. What, boys? That give you a hard on? He shoves his arm in a bidder's face. Here, wet the deck and wipe it round. A bidder. A florin. Dylan's lackey rings his handbell. The lackey. Brang! A voice.
One and eightpence too much.
Charles Alberta Marsh.
Must be virgin. Good breath. Clean.
Bellow. Gives a rap with his gavel.
2 bar. Rock bottom figure and cheap at the price. 14 hands high. Touch and examine shis points, handle rim. This downy skin, these soft muscles, this tender flesh, if I had only my gold piercer here, and quite easy to milk, 3 new-laid gallons a day, a pure stock-getter, due to lay within the hour. His sire's milk record was 1,000 gallons of whole milk in 40 weeks. Woe, my jewel! Beg up! Woe!
He brands his initial C on Bloom's croup.
So, warranted Cohen, what advance on 2 bob, gentlemen?
A dark-visaged man, in disguised accent.
100 pint sterling.
Voices, subdued.
For the Caliph, Harun al-Rashid.